Thank you very much, Pastor Dan. The leadership or protocol observed, I'm happy to be here this morning. It's a blessing to be in a church that is such a blessing, actually. I've been to several churches, of course, since I came, but I can say you have a good church. You have a good church. Yeah, I have been blessed so far. And thank you for having me, Pastor. I really appreciate the invitation. And I know that God is going to be speaking to us this morning. I don't think I need to add much on what has been said concerning me. I just want to bring the word of the Lord. I love small churches because I'm a missionary. I come from a very big church. Our church on a Sunday morning, we have three services in the morning. And of course, I run the television. I'm the CEO of the television. And so I'm always very curious about time, because when you come to the studio, if I give you 30 minutes, please use 30 minutes. So my mind is on, I need to do what I need to do and get done. Are we good? All right. So I want us to go to the word, and I see you already have something here on the screen, which is perfect. The Lord told me to talk to you guys about process, because a lot of time in the churches today, we are not really going where God wants us to go, because we have refused, or we don't really understand the importance of process. And I want you to understand that in our kingdom is a very serious kingdom. It's not a kingdom that just does things to do them. We are in a kingdom that is very powerful. We are in a kingdom that wants us to do things in great intelligence. We are in a kingdom that expects us to do things in a good way, because we are the kingdom of God. And if you look at the world, if you look at the corporate world, if you look at the world generally, you are going to realize that the world is very specific on how it does its things. You are not just going to go in the world and do things carelessly. But for a reason, when we come to the church, we don't do things systematically. We are just careless. We are careless about our lives. We are careless about the way we run things. We are careless about God. We don't understand that our God is a God of class. Our God is a God of process. Our God is a God of system. Our God is a God of structures. Our God wants things done well. He's an organizational God. And so it is important for us to understand the kind of God we serve, so that we are able to be used by God in a great way. Now, number one of the things I want you to know is that in the kingdom that we are, nobody became great without going through a process. Nobody became great without going through a process. If you go through the Bible, that is from Revelation to Genesis, you'll not find anybody who ever became great if they never embraced process. And I want us to read the word. If we can go to the book of Daniel, chapter number 1. Daniel, chapter number 1. I want us to read from verses number 3 let's do up to 5. I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, "Then the king instructed Ashiphanes, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there were no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom." Now, I want you to get that very correctly. Gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understanding. I want you to get those very important details, that they were quick to understanding, who had ability to serve in the kingdom, in the kingdom's palace, and who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language, and they appointed them a delicacy provision each and every day. Now, there is a point I want you to get there in verses number 5. It says that they were to be trained 3 years. They were to be trained 3 years. Let me read verses number 5 again. "And the king appointed for them a daily provision for the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them." That one I want you to note. "So that at the end of the time they might serve before the king." Now, this is these Hebrew boys. They have come as, you know, they have been captured as captives from Israel. They are in Babylon. They have come as a big group, the whole, you know, group that was captured. And here, Nebuchadnezzar needs a few people who are going to serve in the palace. But then he gives Ashiphanes some instruction. But one of the things that caught my attention is that he said unto them, "Even as you choose these people from among us, the Israelites, They are not just going to be anybody. I want you to choose those who have understanding, those who have ability, those who have got knowledge, those who are quick to learn, those who we can teach language and learn, those who are able to sit under training for 3 years before they can serve. In other words, as much as you look for those things in them, when you're going to look for those people, once we find the three, we still need to do training for 3 years. This is Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to understand this is Babylon. Now, Babylon is not just going to take some people from Israel to serve in the palace just carelessly. This Babylonian king was very specific about the kind of people that would be allowed to serve in his palace. And even as they were chosen, he was still going to give them training for 3 more years. Now, this is Babylon. This is not Israel, but they are very specific. And even if you look at the life we live today, if you're going to go and work in an office, in an organization, they don't just pick you. You're going to take your CV there and 100 other CVs are going to be there, but they are going to really be careful on how they choose and their criteria on who qualifies to take that position. Now, that is Babylon for you. Babylon does not just take anybody and put them in a position because they want productivity, because they want to get something out of you. They want you to be profitable for the company or for the organization. But when we come to the church of God, I don't know what happens, but for a reason, we don't realize that we are serving even a greater kingdom. Now, we are children of God, and God expects us to represent him here on earth in a greater way, in a more excellent way. And so God wants us to embrace process, because then when he sends you at your workplace, you're going to be able to represent him in a very good way that people shall start to receive. But most of the time, because we are not going through process, even when God wants us to minister at our place of work, in our communities, we are not able to. Why? Because we don't embrace process. We don't understand that the way God will train you will depend on where you are going to go. Now, I want to go to my point number two. My point number two says that your purpose equals your process. Your purpose equals your process. Now, whatever God have brought you in this world to do, he is going to give you a process that is equivalent to the purpose that is inside you. And so if God has called you to be a professional man, then he is going to train you as a Christian, as professional as you are, so that when you go out there, you going to be able to reach your professional colleagues or to reach your, you know, the people that you have in the office, because God will train you according to the purpose he has given you. And so we become effective even in the marketplace because we are able to speak a language that they understand. But if you go to the marketplace and you're not trained by God, you're not going to be able to know the language of the kingdom in that place. Otherwise, you're going to start speaking their language. You're going to start behaving the way they behave because the corporate world have got its culture. And so we as a children of God, we need to embrace the process of God, and we need to know who we are so that we are effective out there. Most of us are only effective in the church when we come in the house of God on a Sunday morning, or if you have a midday service. When we come to church, we are able to be used of God here. But how many of us, we can say that God is using us out there more than here? That is the reason why most of the churches, we are not impactful. If you look at the impact of the church, you realize that the world is impacting the church more than the church is impacting the world. That is why you find there is a lot of worldliness that is coming in the house of God instead of the churchliness going into the world, because the church is refusing to embrace the training of God, so that when you go out there, you are able to bring an impact. If you look at Jesus, you realize that when he met somebody like Zacchaeus, he knew how to deal with him. He knew this was a man who was a tax collector. This is a man who understands finances, and so he knew how to relate to him. He would go down to his, you know, to his position, even go to eat with him. When he met with somebody like Mary Magdalene, he knew how to deal with these people because he had gone through process and allowed him to be able to embrace the different kind of things he needed to deal with. Now, I want you this morning to remember that God wants you to be great. There is a place that God is taking you. God wants you to be impactful. God wants you to be influential. You cannot be born again and you have got no impact. You have gone to have impact. You got to have influence. You got to touch people's lives. You got to do great things as long as you're on the face of the earth. But God cannot entrust you what you cannot productively engage in. I want to repeat that again. God cannot entrust you with what you're not able to productively engage in. In other words, if you're not able to deal with $1 billion, I mean, God will not be able to give you that billion, because you cannot productively engage with $1 billion. Are we clear? Am I too fast? You understanding? My accent is okay? All right. You could be looking at me, you're like, what is she saying? All right. So if you cannot be able to productively engage with $1 billion, God will not give you $1 billion because you don't know how to handle it. So most of the time, because of lack of process, we are not being given what we can be given if we have gone through process. So the reason why it is important for you to embrace process, it is because whatever you're looking for in life, the greatness that you keep on praying about, you know, the money that you keep on trusting God for, the great position that you want to have one day, the great company that you want to build, I want you to understand that God is willing. He's a father. He's a loving father. He wants to give you all these things, but you have to go through process because he cannot afford embarrassment. You cannot misrepresent him. And if you look before the people that you know, if you look in your circle, you're going to realize there's so many people that God before had given, you know, fame, people that God had given talent, people that God had given offices, but they let God down big time. People that God had given anointing. You know those stories. You have heard those stories. You know those kind of people. So there is a lot of people who have gone before us and never went through the process and messed it completely. That is why we have a lot of shame in the church. That is why even when you go to, to the marketplace and you want to talk to people about Christ, they possibly will have a negative story to shut your mouth. That is why we are always quiet. We can talk about God here, but out there we can't because somebody somewhere messed it. And so you don't have the liberty of talking about Christ out there because somehow God has been misrepresented out there. But you know what? If we go back to our knees, if we go back to embracing process, if we go back to telling the Lord, Lord, I'm available. Just do with me what you need to do with me. Deal with my character. Deal with my thinking. Deal with how I process information. Deal with my emotions. Deal with how I hear things. Deal with how I respond to your word. Deal with who I am. If you embrace process, God is going to use you in a very great way. Every one of us has a great calling. Every one of us has a great destiny. Every one of us is going to a very powerful end at the end of your life. And if you are like me, I want to go there when I'm still young. I don't want to go to enjoy life when I am 80 years old. Who want to drive a Lamborghini when you're 80 years old? Do you want to do that? Well, if you've been driving it from when you are 30, 40, and you see 80 and can drive a nice car, that's fine. But there is much more in this kingdom than those things, right? Yes, so there is people you need to think about. There is things that we need to do in this kingdom. So it is good for you to embrace process early so that you're able to be entrusted by God what he needs to give you on time. Otherwise, we are running out of time. We don't have forever. Christ is coming very, very soon. There are nations to take. And we're not all going to take the nations by going with the word that says the Lord. No. Some of us are going to be sent by God as people who can start companies in different nations. And by that, God is going to use you to reach that nation. Some of you, God is going to send you as missionaries like Dave does. And God is going to use you as a missionary. Some of you, God is going to take you there as a medic. But then if you don't want anything to do with education, if you don't want to get your degree, if you don't want to be good in your industry, then you may never get that opportunity. So we have to holistically understand that the kingdom is a kingdom of structures and God will work with you the way he has wired you. So you need to find yourself and trust God that you're going to go through process without resisting it. Number three, I want you to know that champions are made in the field of practice. Champions are made in the field of practice. If you're going to get an athlete, and I know here in America you do have quite a lot. In Kenya we are runners and I think you know us from running, apart from any other maybe thing that you have known us for. But most of the Kenyan people that are famous are athletes, they run. And here in America, I think more is football. But if you know anybody who is a champion in their industry, they are mailed somewhere in a field. They go training. They go through process. They go through mentorship. They go through somebody working with them until they become a champion. In other words, if you're going to be champion in your industry, if you're going to be a champion in your calling, if you're going to be a champion in the area that God has allocated you, then you have to know that there is a field where you are made. A doctor will need to go through 7 years and more of training before they can be given a license to practice as a doctor. Am I right? Yes, you find an accountant or a lawyer. These people that help us, they need to go through specific training and certification so that they can be entrusted to deal with what they want to deal with, whether they're employed by the government or they're doing their own, you know, personal practices. You cannot walk into a lawyer's office and give them all your money, believing and hoping that they are going to bail you out of your case. You don't do that. You're going to ask for the track record of this lawyer, isn't it? You're going to ask for the track record of this doctor. There is no way you're going to agree to go on a surgery or in an office of a doctor who you know several people have died there. Do you do that? No, you don't do that. You don't risk your life. You ask for the track record. How many of these have you done? How many people, you know, have gone through this surgery, through this same doctor, and they came out alive? You find those details. Because we are people generally want to deal with people who have perfected the art of what they do. Right. So we as believers, we need to realize that champions are made. Champions are made. There is no way you can be good in your field if you have not allowed yourself to be made. That is why process is the art of being made. If you're going to be made to be a billionaire so that you can be the financial pillar of the church in these end times, then you as a billionaire to be, you have to agree to the principles of finances in the kingdom of God. You can never become a financial champion if you cannot agree and accept and embrace simple principles like tithing. You can never be a giant economically, because God is a God of process. God is a God who will make sure that he blesses you legally. He's a just God. That means he understands laws. That is, whenever you hear that God is a just God, you know, we just think just in a spiritual way. But when he says he's a just God, because he will look at the principles he has set and how you adhere to them, and then he's going to bless you in that manner, because he's just. He understands principles and he understands concepts. And so he wants you to look at those things and do what you need to do. Then he's going to bless you from that. So I want you to understand, anybody here who is going to be giant someday, or very soon, or next month, you have to know there is a field where you need to be trained. If you don't allow yourself to go through training, you're going to remain to be at the same level. You're going to remain to be a person who is in a mediocre state, whereby you're just a normal person who comes to church. We love you. You know, we give you a high five. We sing together with you. We really cry before the Lord. We worship the Lord. You love the Lord. You know, we visit you at home, but that is all it's going to be. And that is why you find that people are going through circles as believers. We are going through circles. Coming to church year after year, there is no impact. There is really not much. There is really not much, because it's just the same thing. There is no breaking of tents. But when we become a champion, we break tents. People start hearing concerning us because we are now walking with the Lord. We are now being made. We are not becoming better from, you know, what we used to be. I never began as a CEO of a television that is reaching over 20 million people. No, I never began there. I remember the first time that I took a microphone was maybe lead a prayer meeting or something. And I'm very sure I messed up. I may not remember, but I'm very sure I must have messed up, because when God is training you, you mess up, he corrects you. You know, it's a process, is a preparation. He trains you. But that is, I'm in a place where I never began. Even when I got to the place of running the television, I didn't know what to do. I've never been in a media school, by the way. Don't forget about that. I've never been in a media school. And like yesterday, I was being sent a clip, something that I did was running on television. And they were telling me back home, an advert I did. They were telling me, we are missing you. And I'm like, oh God, I'm in America and they are watching me in Kenya. And I always thank God, because I didn't go to a media school. But when I was given a challenge, not even to run it. You know, when you're given something to run, it is easier because structures are already in place. I was not just given a television to run. I was given to create. I was given the licenses, and that is all that there was. So now from there, you take it from there and you go forward. And I thank God, because God has taken us through, and now we have, I mean, Dave has been to our studios. He has preached on our television. So it's a full-blown operating Christian television station. But it took me to go back to the place of, you know, doing things and listening to myself. What did I say there? Was that right for me to say on television? How did I sound? How are my makeups? You know, all those things. Yeah, because sometimes I'll go on television, then I'll get a message coming through, and maybe it's not even my phone because we have several numbers on television. Then somebody will send a message on maybe the senior pastor and say, no, that was too much makeup on that woman presenter. I mean, I've gone through those things. So when you're talking about process, it is not something that you might like, and it could be hurting, it could be painful, it could be discouraging. Can you imagine? You prepared yourself, you put your shoulders together, and you really want to do this thing, you want to present, you want to do an advert, you do, and then somebody says, she's too proud. So process can be sometimes pathetic, and that is why believers shun from it. Because it's not always a smiley thing. You feel you don't want to go through it. Now, let me go to my next point. And the point is that process has got trainers. Process has got trainers. Number one is people. Like the way I just spoke now. People will train you. Let me tell you. You know, sometimes people in the church are very spiritual. And we keep on saying things like, I don't care what people say. Have you ever heard that phrase? You possibly even have said it. Well, there is a process that God will take you. You start caring what people say. I used to be that kind of person. I don't care what people say. I'll do my thing. Wait until I got on television and people are on my case. I started caring on what people say. Yeah, you realize that God has called you for the people, isn't it? So if God has called you for the people, you need to care what they say. You need to care how they respond to you. You need to see that they receive what you're saying. So if somebody is not going to receive because I was in a specific manner they didn't like, I'll have to care. I was this girl who would work. I thank God for America because they can come here with my jeans and preach. So when I got back to Kenya, after years of being in the mission field, and God said to my husband and I to just go back to a church and submit there and serve. So I was still very, you know, missionarized or whatever you want to call it. I don't have the word for it. So I'm sure missionarized is not an English word. But I'm this kind of a person who just put on my jeans and go to the pulpit and preach until we start getting comments, you know. Doesn't she have clothes? Doesn't she have dresses? Can you know all those things? So I remember one specific time. I didn't know I was preaching. Remember I said I come from a big church. And so we are several associate pastors and then we have our senior pastor, Dr. Francis Oracle. He's my pastor. And so I didn't know I was supposed to preach on a Wednesday service. And so I get a message 2 minutes to the service. Joyce, you're taking the service. And in our church, the way we are groomed, you don't ask questions. We are like, yes, sir. So you stay ready with the sermon anytime. And the sermon has to be updated in the heavenly. Amen. Yeah, I know I just helped you, Pastor Dan, yes. So you always have to have a sermon. So we don't ask questions. Actually, if you're told to go east, you go without asking. You ask the Lord on your way to the eastern direction. That's how we are raised. So it's 2 minutes before time. I'm being told to take the service. Sermon is not a problem. Sermon I have. The biggest problem is I'm wearing my jeans. I'm wearing my short blouse, top. And I had heard several messages saying I should not preach in jeans. And now what do you do? I go to the studio where we keep a lot of clothes and everything there is not preachable or I can't preach in it. And I'm like, Lord, how could you put me in such a spot? And you know what I did? My house is not far, but the service has begun. So there is no way I can rush home and change. You know, I said, you know what, Lord? I'm just going to go behind the pulpit. I thank God because when the services, we have a higher altar, then we have a down altar. When the services has got a pulpit like this, podium like this, but it's wood. So they wouldn't see you. So what I did, I stayed there because they can only see me here. But now, remember you're on television every time. Okay, so I knew whoever is taking the camera work, I already told them, please, if I move, make sure you edit that clip. If I forget and I move and you can see my other part of my body, please make sure that doesn't go on television. But what I forgot is that the people sitting there saw me walking and they saw what I had. And it was a very powerful sermon. And of course, people on television were very, very much blessed. But the people of the congregation still sent messages. How many times do we have to say that this woman cannot be on the altar with jeans? And I'm like, God, now what do I say? So that taught me I need to have dresses in that TV closet, whether I'm preaching or not. Process. Say process. So whether you don't even care about what people think, you're going to be forced by process to care about what people think. People are going to criticize. People are going to, you know, others are going to give you a hand of applause. But most of the time when you're going through process, people are going to criticize. And those criticisms, you take them well. Whether they are positive or negative, you take them well. Because if God is taking you somewhere, then he will allow people to, you know, tell you stuff. Those people may be your leaders at work. They could be your boss. I know some of us here have got bosses that you feel like if you are asked by heaven who should die next, you submit their name. But I thank God because God doesn't consult. You know those people you feel, if heaven was to ask me who should die, I would submit the name of this guy like yesterday. Because he's on my nerves from Monday to Sunday and I can't take it anymore. I mean, I've been there. I know what you're talking about. I remember, and I'm talking about people, and I want to go quickly. There is a time when I was in South Africa, it happens that some big companies in the U.S. like Delta Airlines and American Airlines and T-Mobile, they happen to have, call centers in South Africa. So in my pastoral work and mission work in South Africa, I happened to work for T-Mobile, Delta Airlines and American Airlines. Now, at some point when I was working for T-Mobile, we had this American call, and I'm very happy to be in America and tell you people what you do. So we had this American guy call. And, you know, the way you go, the etiquette of answering a call, you go through it. And then the guy goes like, oh, I can tell your accent is African. Do you have a monkey near you? You know, you are tempted inside you to tell this guy, yes, I have my computer on a tree. Because if there is a monkey near me, I must be in a tree or on a tree or something. So you feel like you want to tell him, yeah, I am sitting with my computer on a tree and that is where I'm taking your call from. But then because process will train you to make sure that your emotions don't spill. So you contain yourself and you're like, you breathe and you're like, no, sir, I'm actually an African and I think I'm fine. You love my accent? You know, you're saying it with your mouth, but your heart is going like, oh, Jesus, I want to kick this one so bad. I remember when I was working for American Airlines, I was supervising the European market and the Pacific market, that is the Asian market. And so I'm a supervisor in American Airlines. And so I have agents under me who basically will speak Italian and German because that market, you speak those languages. So one of my agents, she's from Congo. But then you know the Congolese speak French. So she's taking calls from France. And so this France guy calls and he asks her, you are speaking French and you don't sound like you're really French, but you are speaking good French. What are you? One of those, you know... he used another word, not a really monkey, baboon. Are you one of those? Are you one of those civilized baboons from Africa who can speak French? Now, she was new, and so she didn't take it very well. So she just said directly, "I'll escalate your call to the supervisor." So I'm the supervisor. I got the call, and so. The guy was like, why was I transferred? I didn't ask for a supervisor. Wanted to speak to that person, you know. So I was like, oh, it's okay. She needed to rush somewhere and blah, blah, blah. And so I speak to him. We finish and all is well. But I'm telling you these things to show you. When people train you, it doesn't have to be the way you like it. It will be in the marketplace. It will be in the office. It can be here in charge. You know those people who are in charge, born again, talking in tongues, but they are just so nosy and they are in your business and they just can't leave you alone? You know? Oh, it doesn't happen here. You know, I come from a big church, so we have got all those things. People who won't leave you alone. If they see your husband came with a tie that does not match with the shirt, they want to know if you slept at home. Because if you did, your husband should have come on it. So you get people who are going to step on you in the church, in the marketplace, you know, in the business place. You know people who know that you are applying for a specific contract. And the minute they know, they will make sure they submit their contract before yours. and take the boats for coffee so that they can get the, you know, all those things. So people are going to work on your, you know, your emotions so that your emotions can go down. People are going to be used to talk about your character so that your character can, you know, be in according to the way the Lord wants it to be. So your emotion intelligence is going to really be helped. Because like this girl who was called a baboon because she's a civilized baboon who can speak French. I had to speak to her later and tell her, you know what? This is just making you. You know you're not a baboon. Do you look like a baboon? She's like, no, not Joyce. I don't look like, okay, then you are not a baboon. All right? So don't let anybody who thinks you're a baboon who is speaking French and you shouldn't get to you. So that is people. People will train you. And God will allow. Don't hate the people. It's just training. All right? Number two is going to be circumstances. And I don't want to take time there because I know most of us are going through stuff. Can you say hello? How many of us go through stuff until you feel like you want to just throw in the towel and just go? You are just so tired of this thing. And if God is God, you want him to come and solve it. But he doesn't seem to come. Like he takes time. Like he is taking time. You're praying. You're fasting. You have done everything you need to, you know how to do. But still, circumstances. Could be in your family. It could be, you know, in your own personal life. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you are just so moody, you go to the office, you're not talking to anybody. Can somebody say amen? And if we ask you what happened to you, you have no idea. Maybe it's just a baggage of the things that you've been carrying. Now they're coming and showing in your emotions, all right? Now, number three is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is also a trainer. And I don't want to go there, but if you look at the book of Luke chapter number 4, we're not going to open because our time is out. Luke chapter number 4, you're going to realize that Jesus, after baptism, he was taken by the Holy Spirit to go to the wilderness. He was doing what? Praying and fasting. Who found him there? The devil. Who led him there? Who got him there? No. Get this. Who took him there? The Holy Spirit. But who found him there? Now, so the Holy Spirit can guide you into a place where the devil is going to be with you. How crazy is that? How crazy is that? Like the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Now, actually, the Bible clearly says to be tempted of the devil. Like, really? But he was prepared. And I want us to read Proverbs 21, 31 at a later time. But the Bible says in that Proverbs 21, 31, it says that a horse is prepared for the time of war. The horse is prepared for a time of war. So when the Holy Spirit is taking him to the wilderness, he is prepared and he knows what to answer when the devil is trying to take him around. Let me read it. Proverbs 21, 31 says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is the Lord. So the Holy Spirit has taken him there because he knew. He's well prepared and able to deal with what the devil will try to get him to do. All right? So you need to prepare yourself because the Holy Spirit, when he wants to qualify you, remember, by the time he was done with this wilderness experience, is when he began his ministry very powerfully. So most of the time, when you have been done training with people and circumstances, the Holy Spirit now will take over. He's the main guy. You know, you think the people in your company have been doing it and they are doing it well? Wait until the Holy Spirit comes on the scene. He will put you in a place, and because he has been training you all along, he expects you to have what it takes to come out of the situation. So please allow yourself to be trained. Right. Number five, process precedes elevation. I think I already spoke about that. You can never be elevated to any position without having gone through process. Because remember what I said, you cannot be entrusted with something that you cannot productively engage in. So process precedes elevation. No elevation will come. There is no way Pastor Dan will be having the church he has here with Pastor Anne if heaven had not qualified him to be a pastor. Yeah? That is just how it is. And there is no way you could be sitting here and he is your pastor if you as a person have not qualified him as your pastor. So whether we like it or not, God qualifies us and people qualify us too. All right? How many churches have you been before you got here? Several, isn't it?
Now, please don't look at me with holy eyes. Every average believer has been in several churches, okay? So not unless you got born again here, and even so, you must have seen some, even if you're drunk and holding a bottle, you must have known a pastor somewhere. So there's a reason why you felt this is home, because you qualified him, all right? And you felt he can attain that position you have elevated of a pastor in your life and your family. Because pastoring is a very serious business, because this is family is under that covering, all right? So process precedes elevation. Number six, the anointing doesn't override process. You see, now the mistake we make is when we come to the church, and I think sometimes we get the wrong gospel, Pastor Dan. I think we preach them something like this. When you come to Christ, he is going to help you. All your problems are going to come to an end. You know that gospel? And then you come and you're like, okay, I thought they told me once I come to Christ, I'm not going to have issues. But looks like issues are more in this side of life. Now, I know we don't have that mentality here by now. If you've been born again for at least 1 month, you can have 1 month of honeymoon with the Holy Spirit. But after that, you're going to realize that doesn't work. When you come here, it is true God will take care of things. It is true God will bless you. But God is not unjust. He is not a God who will give you something that he knows is going to destroy you. All right? He's a faithful father. The way a father cannot give a 10-year-old a car to drive around town, number one, he's going to be arrested by the police. Number two, he can cause an accident. Number three, the other motorists are going to be turning like this, wondering, did I just see a kid in the car? So that child is going to be in danger around everyone. So the same way, God cannot entrust you with something he knows is dangerous for you. So he will make sure that you, when you're in the church, you're going to go through process, even though anointing is present here. So just because you're going through something and your pastor have been praying for you, laid hands on you 10 times and the thing is not going, say process. Don't think that pastor is not anointed. If he was anointed, this thing would have gone. Hallelujah. Anointing does not override process. If what you're going through, okay, there are demonic things that need to be cast out. Don't get me wrong. Are you understanding? There are demonic things that need to be cast out. There are demonic things that you don't have to go through. But if what you're going through is something that has to do with your process, no anointing will be able to stop the process. So you're going to have a pastor, and he will teach you. And the sooner you agree to the process, the sooner you're going to come out. So you don't complain, the anointing of my pastor is not working. Don't say that I've been in this church now for 5 years. No husband is saying, I want to marry you. Or no boyfriend or whatever. My friend, when you agree to process, the Holy Spirit will teach you how to become wifey material. Hello? Do we have single sisters here and brothers? So don't say the anointing is not working. There is no brother coming along or sister coming along. My brother, if you say right with the Holy Ghost, he's going to show you what is the problem. That is why sisters are saying no. You can fast all you want, but if the sister says no, please don't go fast again. Ask the Holy Ghost, what is my problem? All right, so anointing doesn't override. Number seven, process is not demonic, but Satan can manipulate, okay? Satan can manipulate. So wherever you are going through process, be very careful because the enemy can interfere. Like I said, Jesus in the wilderness, all right? Jesus is in the wilderness, that is Luke chapter 4. But at the end of the day, the devil came. So when you're going through your process, when God wants to qualify you, the enemy, because he knows you're going somewhere great, so the enemy will keep on coming to check on you. And he finds you're not done in your emotions, he will make sure that you fight with somebody. Just when that promotion is supposed to come through at work, you kick your colleague. And the devil will make sure you kick your colleague when your boss is around or there are some reporters around. You know those people in the office who report to the boss every day? You know you can misbehave and doesn't get far. But you know the devil will strategize and make sure there is somebody who is very good in breaking news. They will be around when you're cursing somebody and you're supposed to get a promotion. So when you go through process, it is good because you will not allow the enemy to interfere, because he does. When you feel like cursing, Then you remember, oh, it's not of the Lord to be cursing. I'm born again now. Even when that word is just about to come. You know the way you feel? I want to tell you something that is going to put you in your place for 1 year. Have you ever felt that? Like you're going to tell something to somebody that is going to put them in a place for 1 year. But then you remember you're a believer. You're supposed to tell people, God bless you. It is well. But in you, there is just fire burning, not the fire of the Holy Spirit, the other fire. All right? So you don't allow the enemy to actually manipulate. But process is not demonic. So you have to differentiate when the enemy is really interfering so that you really do warfare. The last thing, many breakthroughs are hindered by lack of process. There are so many breakthroughs that are hindered by lack of process. With what I've told you today, I want you to look at your life and ask yourself, why am I where I am today? Could there be something that I should do for me to get to my breakthrough quickly? Some of you, maybe you're waiting for a financial breakthrough for a long time. But if we go to your tithe records, not here at heaven, are we going to find you faithful? Are we going to find you faithful in how you give? Now, it's true you've been prophesied you're going to be a millionaire. Nobody is actually against us prophesied. Actually, we say hallelujah. Hallelujah to the prophet who prophesied that you're going to be a millionaire. But your tithe records, your giving records, are they qualifying that you're going to be one? If God is going to raise you to be a pastor, maybe you feel you have a calling of God to be a pastor, are you able to get there with a big heart that loves people? You can go out of your way. I remember when we visited Pastor Dan, there came like, I think, 5 people in your house. And I was like, if you're not called to be a pastor, you don't want people coming in your house, 5 of them on a Saturday. Because you want to rest. Maybe you've been working the whole week. But when you're called to be a pastor, they'll call you at midnight. And you're going to say, okay, I'm on my way. I'm coming. Which hospital are you? All right? So breakthroughs are stopped because people are not going to go through process in the right time, in the right way. The devil keeps on aborting. Some of us is because we are so stubborn, we cannot sit and be trained by the Holy Spirit. So whatever breakthrough that you want to get, I want to urge you today, look at your life. Don't look at God. God gave us answers 2,000 years ago. It is you and me that need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? I'm only wearing jeans now because I'm in America and it's winter. Process have taught me. In fact, right now, if you go to my wardrobe, you'll find long dresses and robes. I told the Lord, if getting in these things is what is going to make your people not listen to me, I'm going to get in them. I told the Lord, even if you want me to put a turban on my head, I'll do it. And by the way, I have very nice legs. And so I always like to wearing some short stuff because I was aware I have nice legs. And you know what the Lord will do? When I go to the pulpit, because I'm always on the pulpit, maybe every Sunday, because our services, we lead services every Sunday. So if I'm not in a service, maybe in the studio or I'm leading the service. So I would put maybe a short skirt. And in Kenya, Pastor Dan, you can tell them, and Anne, in Kenya, short is actually just below the knee. So I'm not talking short that's above the knee, no. All right? So I'm very, you know, born again here. I have my skirt all the way below the knee. Not like below, but just below. So I go to the pulpit. And one day I ask God, do you even have people in this congregation or do you just have, you know, do they even hear what is being said? They're just looking at what Joyce is going to be having on. And you see, because I'm on television, it's like I'm a bother to everybody everywhere I go. But the people on television, they love me. But the people who know me personally, it was an issue. So today, you come to my wardrobe, you're going to find those long robes. That is how God has made me. I said, Lord, if whatever, and I'm not saying that you lose yourself trying to please people, no. The only reason I do that is because I value people because God values them. So if my short dress is going to make a mama in the congregation not hear me, I would rather do away with it. If my jeans is going to make somebody not hear the gospel, then I'm going to do away with it. But thank God in America we have all the seasons and I can have my jeans. Can we all be upstanding? I can have my jeans. I can have anything in America. Praise the Lord. I'm excited and happy. Pastor Dan, thank you. God bless you.